The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad that you tuned in today, and we have a wonderful day out. The sky is looking beautiful, and the green trees that I am looking at over the valley. And the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, and he's getting ready to come back, and we're studying about that. And the more that time goes by and the more that I read the Bible, I see that he is telling us that he's getting ready to come back. You know, in the Old Testament, they had two trumpets that would blow. One said, get ready, and the second trumpet said, move out. And I think that get ready trumpet is blowing loud and long. If you read the Bible, there are so many things in the Bible that tells you what it would be like before the second coming of Christ. And somebody said, well, nobody knows the day and the hour, but that may be true. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it states that that day, which is the day of the Lord, when God begins to take over this earth that lasts for 7 years, that it says we are not in darkness about that day. In other words, Christians will know about it. Read that in 1 Thessalonians 5, the day of the Lord. It's always God's judgment. And also it says there, God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's the saved people. And right before the day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, it talks about us being taken off the earth. We call it the rapture. And that means we will be caught up into heaven. And then comes the time of great trouble. You know, before Sodom was destroyed, Lot was taken out. Before the earth was flooded, Noah, who believed in the Lord, was given an ark and built an ark, and he was saved out of it. And so the Bible says that the day of the Lord is day of God's wrath, but God has not appointed us. That is the saved people to wrath. We're the children of light. But the Lord is telling us, we know. Now, some of the things, the Bible teaches that before Christ comes back, Israel would go back to the land. They went back to the land. Not all of them, but a lot of them. The Bible talks about the fact of a world government being set up. And you hear this all the time in the media about this world government, and it is moving that direction all the time. You hear of the fact that Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 12, will be the center of world attention. And God said, he that is the creator of the earth, that anyone that burdens himself with Jerusalem will be cut in pieces. You see that God is going to judge the world, Joel chapter 3, for dividing up my land, parting my land. Israel is God's land, and he has given it to the Jewish people. And so we see that God is, and the Bible talks about the earthquakes, and we have earthquakes like the world has never seen. Now, continually, every single week, all over the earth, it's bubbling with earthquakes. Talks about signs in the sun, and about a week ago, there was a huge sun eruption in the sun. And talks about the waves of the sea roaring, and so you see these tsunamis going on, and all of these things and many other things the Bible talks about that would be taking place. Now, in understanding Revelation, God is revealing the future. And first of all, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have 66 books in the Bible written by about 40 different authors, and yet they give a perfect picture about God and about his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is God in a human body. And Revelation, again, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It tells who he is. It shows his power, and it shows what he is planning to do. And he will come in bodily form and land on the Mount of Olives, which is a mountain right outside the city of Jerusalem. And he will go down through the Kidron Valley, up through the Eastern Gate, which God says will be closed until he comes. And it is closed today. And he will sit down on a throne on Mount Zion as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and rule over the earth and the universe from Jerusalem, Israel. And that's why all the attention is being paid to Israel right now, because God is getting ready for that. But the book of Revelation, other things we see, first of all, it is a book of worship. And it is very important that we worship God, which includes singing the praises of God, talking about how great God is. It also includes the preaching of the greatness of God. And so in this book, it talks about the worship of God, just like the book of Psalms. And it's all the way through this book. But then it also talks about God step by step taking control of the earth. And the earth is you could compare it to tenants in a house. They have rented a house, and these tenants are out of control. And our cities today are being wrecked a lot of time by tenants. I've been a tenant for a long time. I have my own house now, but I have seen individuals in Cleveland, Ohio. They wreck the places. And of course, that's not talking about all tenants, but there are people like that. And it would be like a tenant going in and deliberately wrecking a house, and he would be cursing the landlord, and he would refuse to pay the rent, and he would break everything that he has put on the lease immediately and said, he doesn't have a right to tell me what to do, but he's breaking the landlord's lease. The landlord owns the house. And he's stealing from the other tenants, beating up on the other tenants. And finally, why he is taken to court and he is evicted. Well, this earth is owned by the Lord God Almighty. He created it. And it is a beautiful place. It has, think of this, has a whole hydraulic system of water and springs. And it has lakes, and it has streams. It has rivers, and it has a hydraulic cycle that is an incredible thing that God has made. And he points this out, and then it has all the beautiful plants and the animals and the sky, and everything is well balanced in thousands of places. But yet you have many among mankind that refuse to acknowledge him. And in the schools around the world, they teach that man has just come here by accident. He has just evolved from a rock. And I tell you, that is the most unscientific nonsense. You say, well, you talk about a lot. Yes, but they promote it, and much of education in America is based on this idea. And it's unscientific because the second law of thermodynamics teach what they call entropy. Everything is running down. It's like a tomato gets rotten. There's a burst of energy, and you have an apple, and then the apple rots. Everything is in a process of decay, including men's bodies and including the animals. They decay and they die. And that's called entropy. That is directly opposed to evolution. And furthermore, as Darwin had said in his time, he said, well, the worst thing against his theory is that they haven't found fossils that demonstrate evolution. And so he thought that they would find them, but we have no fossils that demonstrate evolution, and no fossils of plants, no fossils of animals. Now, I know the evolutionists try to pretend this, but they don't have it. And some of the biggest finds that they claim to have, all of them eventually break down. The Piltdown man, the Neanderthal man, the Peking man, the Java man, the Nebraska man, all of these things have been shown to be a hoax or not backing up evolution. And so here people that live on God's earth, drink his water, eat his food, live under his sunshine, they spend their life cursing their maker and lying and cheating and stealing and killing. And man, we've seen it in our government now. It is more corrupt than it has ever been in the history of this country. And it is open corruption. And so in the book of Revelation, step by step, God takes over. Somebody has said when an army comes in to invade a territory, they bombard that area first, and then the troops come in. And in a sense, in Revelation, that is what God is doing. And man sets up a world government in opposition to Christ. If man would surrender and recognize his creator, then he wouldn't have the trouble. Rather, we are seeing today things that have never happened before, the level of tsunamis and the level of physical problems that are happening in the world today. And in the United States, the hurricanes and all of the stuff that is going on today, it is going wild. And you think this just happens? No, because if there is a God in heaven, everything that goes on, it's what he allows. And he is bringing it for his purposes and objectives. But the book of Revelation is God in attacking the earth, God starting to take command of the earth, which ends up when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns over this earth. And so we see Revelation chapter 15. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So man, God is angry. He is angry for refusing to honor and glorify him and teaching children that we just evolved from a rock. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Now, the beast is this world government with a head that blasphemes and speaks against God. He has total control over this earth and over his image. Now, he has an image, and it may be an image that is of this man that rules, but it may be an image that actually represents this world government. And you have today in Europe, which may be the start of this world government, you have a woman riding the beast. And in the book of Acts, as we have talked about before, in the book of Acts, it talks about this idol that came down from Jupiter. It was an image, and it was an image of Diana, who was the queen of heaven. And in Jeremiah chapter 44, it talks about the Jewish people worshiping the queen of heaven. And God said that he was angry at them for worshiping the queen of heaven and giving her the praise and honor and glory that belongs to him. And today, people are praising and honoring the queen of heaven. And these apparitions are appearing all over the world, even to the Muslims. As we've said in other programs, they're talking about in Lebanon having a joint meeting in which the different religions in Lebanon are going to honor Mary. Now, of course, this Queen of Heaven is not the same as the Mary of the Bible, because she thanks God for being her Savior. She recognizes, although she was an outstanding lady who is the mother of Jesus, and by the way, Jesus never called her mother, although she was his physical mother. She said she rejoiced in God, her Savior. She needed someone to die for her sins too. And when a woman came to Jesus and says, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee," talking about Mary, Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it." You know, if you follow a religion that says that you believe in Jesus Christ, how come you don't read what Jesus said? Why don't you read the Bible? The Bible was written by people that personally knew Jesus, and Jesus said that God the Holy Spirit spoke to them and gave them the very words that he wanted them to have. And so today, instead of the honor and glory going to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going worldwide more and more, and miracles are being done in Egypt to this Queen of Heaven, who appears in great apparitions today. And people worship her with images. You know that in the Bible, in image, sometimes it says image and sometimes it says abomination. That is, it's something that God looks at with great disgust. God is an eternal spirit, and he doesn't want us to represent him with an image or a picture. And I think sometimes even these movies about Christ, I don't know, they portray him as a wild-looking character with his hair blowing all over the face place. I don't think Jesus was like it. It's almost blasphemous. And so anyway, we get back to this. And so they worship this image. instead of worshiping God. God said, my glory will I not share with another. You know, when Jesus went to the wedding of Canaan, Mary came to him, and they went to Mary first, and then she came to him and said they need to have some wine. They're out of wine. And Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with thee? He didn't even call her mother. And so next time she goes back, and if you believe in, if you're listening to Mary, listen to what she said. She said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so they go back to Jesus, directly to Jesus, not through Mary. They go to him, and they receive the miracle of the water turned into wine. And so we are to praise and honor and glorify Jesus. Now, it says here, they got the victory over this world government and this leader of it, and it's the image and his mark, because you're going to have to wear a mark that he gives you over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So they're in heaven on the glass sea in heaven. And they have harps, so they're playing an instrument. And a harp is something you pleck on. It's something that it's like a guitar. It's like a harp that we know it today. And you pull the strings, and they make a sound. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Now, he praises God in a song that he had in the Old Testament for God's works and for his power and for his glory. And so we're to sing songs that praise and honor and glorify God. And I notice that when I am listening to CDs of singing that praises and honor glorifies God, the Holy Spirit is ministering to me, and God becomes very real and very powerful in my life. And it says, they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, and we can never say this enough, but all through Revelation, when God mentions the Lamb, he is saying to people, look, I have paid for your sins. Repent and acknowledge me as your God and Creator, and your sins are paid for. You know, to teach purgatory, it was started early, and it began to be spread. First, it was introduced from paganism by Origen, and then Augustine began to teach it to some extent, but it was not taught among any Christian group at all to any extent until the time of Pope Gregory the First, and he saw some type of a vision, and he began to preach it. And this is the most anti-Christian doctrine that there is, because it is saying that you must go and be punished for sins in a place that is like hell, where you burn indefinitely. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, he said, it is finished. That is, his salvation is complete, and his salvation is finished. He's paid it all. And in his attack on what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross, and when it mentions the Lamb, it's saying, look, your sins are paid for. Just repent. Be willing to turn from sin and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And to teach such a thing, there it is not taught in the Bible anywhere. It's not even hinted at in the Word of God. Believe on the, what'd Peter say, and what'd Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from God's wrath, saved from hell, saved from judgment. God is so good, and he's so gracious, and he's so loving. He wants to take you to heaven without any record that you've ever sinned, and I don't care what you've done. Paul tortured Christians before he got saved, and he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so God is saying to you today, repent. Why go to hell and spend eternity without God in fire forever and ever, all alone? You're not going to have a party in hell. You're not going to be with your friends in hell. And God wants to take you to heaven. He wants to give you everything you had. That's why man was created. So they sing the song of the Lamb. We sing songs like that. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day because Jesus paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. By one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And sanctified means set apart to God as God's child, being saved. He has perfected you as far as God's concerned forever. and paid for your sins. And he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more. And we can never say this enough. Now they sing, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Now, first of all, God is called Lord. You know, Lord is very simple. That means he's the boss. He has the right to tell us what to do. The news media today, when they talk about Christians, almost anybody that believes anything is a Christian, according to the news media. Well, a Christian is somebody that accepts Jesus as their Lord. There's a time in their life when they've said, you're the boss. You're in charge. And he's not in charge by what our heart thinks, our mind thinks. He's in charge through his words. Sometimes it says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you. And then he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Receiving Christ is receiving his words. And so he is Lord, and he is the boss. He is the authority. He has the right to tell us what to do. We are to recognize that. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, the one that is the Son of God that died, was buried, and rose from the dead. You're the boss. And then he's God. He's the creator. He has all power in heaven and earth. And then he is the Almighty. He has all power in heaven and earth. You know, Jesus, how do we know he's God? Because when he was on the earth, he demonstrated total power over everything, over death, over sickness, or disease. He said it and it happened. If somebody is dead, he went up to the coffin and says, arise, and the man arose. Only God could do that. If a person had leprosy, he'd touch him. And the leprosy would instantly go. And at his trial, when he allowed himself to be taken to die for our sins, there wasn't one person in all of Israel, hundreds of thousands of Israelis saw him, that denied that he did it. His worst enemies never denied it. They couldn't, because hundreds of thousands of people saw him demonstrate total power over everything. You know, when Israel as a nation rejected him, for 1,900 years, they were chased all over this world, losing every battle they fought for 1,900 years. And then in 1900, the thing turned around, and they go back and fight war after war after war and win every single war. You know, people that are believing in Allah, he's not doing too good, because the Muslims fought to kill the Jews and get them out of the land. And they outnumbered the Jews 50-1. But here the Jews lose, and then they come back to the land that God brought them back to, and they win every single war. You think they won it? They didn't win it. God won it. Jesus Christ won it. He's showing his power. And Christians today may be afraid, but just look over there at Israel. One time in the Yom Kippur War, the prime minister of Golda Meir of Israel, She thought the end had come. She got out her pills, getting ready to commit suicide. And she called up Nixon at 2 o'clock in the morning, who was president. And here his mother said, one day when he was a little boy, you're going to help God's people. And so she called up and said, Mr. President, she said, if you don't do something, we're through. And he said, get the big planes going. And they took the supplies into Israel, and they eventually won the war. You think that just happened? I am telling you, that is Jehovah Jesus, and he is showing that he has the power, and he has all power in heaven and earth. He's demonstrating it now. Ahmadinejad, he can run his mouth all he wants, and he can promise he's going to obliterate Israel, but he is a fool. And Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. He has power over everything. And he has given, you say, why all the trouble? Why all this going on? God has given man a certain amount of freedom now. But he is going to take over this earth. And he is demonstrating this already. He is showing his power. And he is telling you today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Ask Christ for salvation. Ask him to be your God, to forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Look forward to Jesus coming back.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com.
That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.